I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap for this week's Valspar Championship. And joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Hello, Greg.
Rick, very interesting day at the Valspar. A little slow early, and then all of a sudden, there was a little fire on the back nine, which got a little exciting. So excited to talk about it with you tonight.
Yeah, there was movement and a lot of it in both directions. We saw things that were historic, and I don't want to mislead people. That does not always mean good history was made, but history was made.
Well, it was historically bad from an unexpected player who was kind of carrying this tournament. You know, I mean, we'll just, spoiler alert, it was Justin Thomas. And I was very excited to see JT compete and get himself in the mix down the stretch. And he shot 79 today. That's not a historic number. He wasn't the only one to shoot 79 today, but the way he did it was historic.
That's right. We'll get to that in just a little bit, but let's ease our way into the day, Greg. And we'll start with the Desert Fox, who is he aware that he is in Florida? Because Adam Hadwin shot a 3-under 68. He had 1, 2, 3 separate twos on the card. That's always a good thing. He moves up 12 spots to a tie for eighth, and he is currently 4 shots off the lead.
Yeah, he hit a lot of really high quality shots today, especially on those par threes, which is great to see. He wasn't extremely accurate off the tee. And sometimes when he missed fairways, he got himself in trouble. He missed fairways on par fives and wasn't able to get up around the green in two. So he wasn't able to put the number of fours on the card that he would have liked. He did get up and down with a couple of those wedges. But all in all, this is a very well-rounded performance out of Adam Hadwin. And a very nice round today. And it's exactly what you need at the Valspar. You know, you don't have to excel anywhere. You got to keep the ball in front of you. You got to make you can't compound errors when you do make them. And he didn't do that today. So I think his bogeys were avoidable. Some short chips, a three putt in there, which you'd like to clean up for tomorrow. And if he does that and hits some fairways on the par fives, then I think Adam Hadwin can give himself a chance. This was a nice round today.
There was a combination of everybody in the field being within six shots who made the cut, and also the golf course playing over par on Saturday, that if you were just a couple under par, you made up a pretty decent bit on the rest of the field. I'm looking specifically at guys like Cameron Champ, who shot a 4 under 67 and moved up 22 spots. Ryan Moore, who shot a 67 and moved up 27 spots. Lee Hodges, who shot a 66 and moved up 45 spots. So you didn't have to shoot a 62. There weren't any 62s out there, but because of the way that the things shook out before the cut, it created a very, very volatile leaderboard.
And it was a record on the PGA Tour since what, like 1982 or 1983, the tightest dispersion between players to make the cut and the top of the leaderboard. So with everybody within six shots of the lead heading into this day, you're right. It did create a lot of volatility. Everybody entered this tournament with a chance to win heading into the last 2 days. Now, it's a very different story now. We have definitely seen some separation on the leaderboard, but the players like Ryan Moore and Cam Champ, who you mentioned, Lee Hodges also got themselves in a much better position heading into the final round.
Yeah, what I'm going to do here, Greg, because this is just a mess, but I am actually, we're going to take an early break in the show, and then that'll give us enough time to hit all these guys at the top, Justin Thomas, the notables, all that stuff. But we'll reset after a quick word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. All right, Greg, let's just dive head first into this thing. We'll start at the top of the board. Keith Mitchell made the turn in 1/37. He hadn't played the snake pit yet. This was not going to be a good day for Keith Mitchell, but au contraire, he birdies 12, he birdies 14, he birdies 16, he birdies 17, and he holes out for eagle from 151 yards on 18 to shoot a 29, cards a 5-under 66. He sets the new record for lowest score to par to get through the snake pit, just 7 strokes, and he leapfrogs everyone to sit at the top of the board at 10 under par heading into the final round.
And firmly in control of this tournament. I mean, you know, he makes a couple bogeys, a nice birdie at 7, which was a bounce back after back-to-back bogeys. And then he missed some really good looks, 9, 10, 11, had really good opportunities. The chip in on 12 seemed to really get him going. And then he got up and down at 14 for birdie there. And then just, this is the thing. Last week at the Players, I was a big fan of Keith Mitchell. I was all over him. I thought he was going to have a great week because his iron play had been so sharp coming in. I mean, he had a great week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational with his ball striking, a great week at, I believe it was the Cognizant as well, with his iron play. And things were looking really good in the tee to green camp for Keith Mitchell. Didn't play out great last week, but he comes in here and that comes to light late. Hits a great shot into 16, a great shot into 17, and obviously the one at 18. If you haven't seen it, you got to check out the replay because this is one hop in the bottom. He got something in his eye after the divot. It was just an awesome moment. And again, like the way you tack this golf course, it can lead to some boring golf. You know, it asks for boring golf, especially in conditions like this. It's hard to get it close out there. And Keith Mitchell knocks it in, and I stand up out of my chair. I make an audible noise. I was stunned that it went in. So that was a really cool moment, kind of lit the fire in my house.
The I'm going on the record. And I'm going to say this is an unbreakable record. Okay. So he's the first guy to play the snake pit at 4-under. So he goes birdie, eagle. We know that that is like one of the most difficult stretches in golf. I don't think we'll ever see a 5-under stretch there. You have to make 2 eagles. So you'd either have to like ace 17 or hole out on both 16 and 18 and birdie 17.
Right. No five. No way. You never say never, but I would be absolutely, I'm stunned to see 4-under in this stretch.
I agree.
I mean, it's very challenging. And so to think that somebody's going to hold 2 shots and make a birdie on the other one, it's hard to imagine. But, you know, I was texting you guys in the group chat, maybe Cashmere Keith gets a new nickname, the Snake Charmer. Yeah. And Hixie said it at the end of the broadcast too. So he was right there with me. The Snake Charmer, yeah. Cashmere Keith.
Did you just reveal to everyone that Hicks is in our group chat?
He's not in our group chat. I wish he would. It'd be very entertaining if he was, but I'm sure he wouldn't use any of my material on the air if he was.
You know, if he wins, you could say something like, he's got the antidote or something like that. Like
I got to do a little digging on that. What do you do for venom?
You suck it out, I think, is what you do. I don't know. We'll have to.
Yeah. We'll have to check that out. It seems risky, but
I wouldn't do it. Logjam right behind Keith Mitchell. 2 shots back, 3 players. 3 shots back, 3 players. So add up, that's 6. Let's start with the 8-unders. Mackenzie Hughes follows up his 68 on Thursday with a 68 on Friday and a 69 on Saturday. This was going pretty swimmingly. Greg, 3-under through 11. He did find a little bit of trouble coming in with bogeys on 13 and 18. He was playing from out of position quite a bit, but he's going to get to go to sleep tonight, just 2 shots off the pace.
You think of you think of Mackenzie Hughes, and I looked at his name. His form coming in hasn't been stellar. not a lot of signs that this was going to be a great week, except it's a good course fit for him because he is a grinder. He's not overly accurate either. And these are the kind of, you know, it's a little perplexing at times because you think, okay, if you're short, you got to be really straight. Especially if you've had success on tour like Mackenzie Hughes has. But he's not necessarily. I mean, he hit it so far right at 18. I'm surprised they even found the ball. I mean, it went miles right. And he can do that kind of thing. But what he's so good at is figuring out a way to put a score on the board. The putter is hot right now. He's leading the field in strokes gained putting. Hit a great putt at 17 that stopped just short in the heart. Made a 40-footer at 16. So of the guys in this leaderboard, you got a couple guys doing it with their tee to green play and their ball striking. Mackenzie Hughes is the guy that's doing it with his putter.
Mackenzie Hughes in that log jam. Seamus Power also in this log jam, a 68 for him as well on Saturday. And Greg, I think, you know, you zoom out a little bit. Seamus Power has not had a good 2024. 2023 wasn't that great. We've seen him play well for long extended periods of time, but we haven't seen it in a while.
No, and he's been really cold on the greens. And according to his caddy, he's kind of found a little life with the putter. And today wasn't his best day on the greens. He had a great day Thursday and made 100 feet of putts in yesterday's round as well. Today was a little cooler, but he didn't really need to make a whole lot of putts. You know, Seamus Power today was really smart. He kept his ball in control. He flighted it really nicely when he needed to. This looked like the Seamus Power that we're used to seeing. So I really liked what he did tee to green today. I really liked what he did with his iron play today. And it was a simple looking 68. You know, he played the boring golf that you need to play at the Copperhead course. And feeling a little more confident on the greens is definitely a nice added bonus and why he's sitting here, you know, two shots back of the lead.
Peter Malnati also there at 8 under par. No offense, Peter. We're just going to skip you, go down to the sevens, go out and win tomorrow. We'll talk a lot about you. Cam Young in with a 68, three shots off the pace. And Greg, this was going sideways out of the gate. He was 2 over par with 3 bogeys through his first 6 holes. And then he gets the spark that he needs. He holes out from 121 yards in the fairway on number 7 for eagle. And that just spurs the rest of this round here. Birdies on 9, 11, 12, and 14. He does give one back at 15, but he plays the snake pit at even par. So he gets in with a 3 under 68. And that 3 under, that 3 shots, is the gap between him and Keith Mitchell.
It's a nice round of golf for him today. Puts him in contention heading into tomorrow. There's still some things he does that are a little on the sloppy side. You know, he gains 2 shots approaching the green today, but the hole out is a big benefit in that. He did hit some loose iron shots, has been driving it really well. But the biggest concern with Cam Young is what he does around the greens. And all of these bogeys come from, you know, I don't want to say that they're easy because you can get some strange lies in the rough around these greens, which he did on the last, what was that, on 15. The last bogey he made, he had a really squirrely lie. It was a difficult up and down. But there's a lot of those kind of short chips from around the greens that he's not as good as other PGA Tour players. And it's amazing that he's able to come up with the record he is in major championships because this has been a weakness. So for Cam Young tomorrow, because of what he can do off the tee, he has the ability to go out there and take over this tournament with the driver, but he's got to hit a lot of greens. I was thinking at first, all right, let's go out there and just fire at flagsticks and overwhelm the golf course with your ball striking. But I think he's got to play away from those short-sighted misses a little bit because he will drop shots if he misses greens. And I think Cam Young taking advantage of par fives and getting the ball on the green in regulation is going to go a long way for him tomorrow.
Yeah, play away from those weaknesses and stick to your strength. So Cam Young at 7 under, Brendan Todd at 7 under, and Chandler Phillips at 7 under. And Greg, I want to highlight him because we've probably not spent much time, if any time, talking about Chandler Phillips. He's a rookie. He's out of Texas A&M. He played at that program. This week, he is 9th in the field in strokes gained approach. He's gained over 4 strokes there, another 4.5 with the putter. That's a very good high upside combo. Today, he had 4 birdies, 3 bogeys, including a square on number 18, his final hole of the day. So he kept himself in it, beat the field average. What have you made of his game so far this week?
Well, I really like the golf swing. That's for one. I mean, this is only his, 11th event on the PGA Tour?
Yeah.
So not a lot of experience out there. Did win on the Korn Ferry Tour last year, which is how he got onto the PGA Tour. Played nice at the American Express and in Mexico. He's got top 25s in both of those events. So this is an opportunity for him to really change his career, change his life. And we could get a pretty good story because I like what I see with this golf swing. The putter does seem to be a little bit of an issue. Apparently, he had 10 putters out at the beginning of the week, trying them out, trying to find one that worked. And it looks so far like he's got one. Couple short misses today, but we'll see what happens tomorrow with all that pressure on, because this is a big opportunity for him.
10 putters, why not 12 putters, Greg? If you're going to try 10, you might as well try 12.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably in those next two that was the golden ticket.
Speaking of putters, speaking of finding a golden ticket, if you are looking for Justin Thomas's name, because Justin Thomas was the favorite last night, wasn't he?
Well, he was one off the lead. I imagine he was the favorite.
He was like 5-1 or 6-1 or something like that. Was the favorite to win. He was 1 shot off the lead. If you're looking for his name, keep scrolling. You'll get there eventually. You'll find it in a tie for 66th after a 79 that was a historically sour putting round, Greg. So let me put this into perspective for you here. He lost over 7 strokes putting. It's by far the worst round of Justin Thomas's career. I've got about 230,000 measured rounds in my database back to 2008. There's only maybe 36 that are worse than this. So he's probably, it's like 34th out of 200 and something thousand by any player. He rolled in a birdie putt from 2 feet 9 inches. So he tapped it in on the first hole. He did not make a putt longer than that for the rest of the day.
No, there was only one other one putt, which was from just outside of 2 feet. He made that one from 2 feet 9 inches. He made another one that was from 2 feet 4 inches. Okay, we're splitting hairs here. I think you get the gist of it. It's 38 putts. It's 4 3-putts. I counted 5 missed putts inside of 6 feet on the front nine. This is the lid completely on. We made 22 feet of total. 22 total feet of putts made. It's hard to do that in 18 holes, right? I mean, because you're going to tap it in. This is atrociously bad. And the round of golf wasn't a 79 kind of round.
I was like, what is he going to say? I thought he was gonna be like, it wasn't that bad. It was actually pretty good. I didn't know what you were going to say when you started.
A normal putting day, and Justin Thomas probably, I mean, I'm not, he didn't play great. He didn't hit it great. He didn't hit it that, he didn't hit it 79 bad.
Yeah. He should have shot like a 72.
Yeah. It could have turned it in with his typical game, could have turned it into 70, right? Somewhere in that range. And it's 79, and it's all because of the greens, all 100%. So I know at the end of last year, he stepped away from his putting coach, John Graham, was trying to take things into his own hands a little bit. And I'm wondering if, I know it's only one round, but what do you do from here? This is where you need to have a coach to lean on. And I know he could talk to his dad. There's a lot of people he can talk to about this, but it's a sign of kind of being lost. And that's concerning going forward. So look, this happens. You can have a bad day. I know it's a historically bad day, but how Justin Thomas rebounds specifically with the putter, it's really important, because there's only two tournaments until the first major championship of the year. And at the beginning of this year, Justin Thomas was looking like a guy ready to vie for some majors. And we're suddenly slipping into a pretty bad place. And I don't know who he turns to for help without a putting coach. So yeah, this is concerning.
We have just pinballed, or at least I have pinballed back and forth this year on my kind of thoughts on Justin Thomas, right? End of last year, awesome. Start of this year, awesome. Then he misses two of his last three cuts, and I'm a little bit worried about that. Then he goes out, and after two rounds this week, he's got me. I'm back. I'm fully back in. He's one off the lead. We're getting ready for major championship season. He's the favorite to win. Now he has a lost putting round at the most important stretch of golf during the year. And now I'm back to terrified again. I cannot, my feel for him has changed so much in just like 4 weeks.
You know, I think I said this maybe in the DFS episode, where it'd be really easy. You could see this story building, where you could look back at this year at the end of a really good year for Justin Thomas and say, okay, we missed the cut at the Genesis. He played with Tiger. He missed the cut at the Players. Well, a lot of great players missed the cut at the Players Championship. You can kind of write those off. And so I was willing to take a chance on him this week. And at the beginning of the week, in the first two rounds, it was absolutely paying off. But to see something like this, it makes you wonder if those two events at the Genesis were really a sign of something more. The event at the Genesis and the Players.
Yeah. I had excuses for those two.
Right.
I don't have excuses for this
one. Yeah, now it's kind of hard. Because look, the Players, on Friday at the Players, he lost, I think, three strokes putting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the reason he missed that cut.
And that's a horrible, horrible day of putting. This was more than twice as bad as that.
Yeah. 22 feet of putts made in 18 holes.
Oof, boy. Okay. Let's readjust to the top of the board. And Josh will show us the odds with 18 holes to go here. Keith Mitchell, plus 190 is your favorite. He's two shots clear. Mac Hughes is one of the closest chaser. He's next at plus 650. Cam Young, three shots back at 7.5 to 1. Seamus, 7.5 to 1. Then everybody else is in double digits. What are you going to? What do you trust on a Saturday evening like this?
Well, Justin Thomas is only 13 back. I'm kidding. But Keith Mitchell is the guy right now. If you look at stats, and it's going to get pretty windy tomorrow afternoon. So you're thinking, okay, bad conditions, we want to go to ball strikers. Well, that's going to be Keith Mitchell. You don't like those odds. And in really difficult conditions, I typically wouldn't go for the guy that's doing it all with the putter. That would be Mackenzie Hughes. But I think Mackenzie Hughes has more tools in the toolbox than just the putter. I think he can figure out a way. So I'm okay with Hughes. I'm okay with Mitchell. I don't think Cam Young is really ready yet. I hope he makes me eat my words. I would love nothing more than to see that. But I don't love Cam Young at plus 750. So getting away from Mitchell and Hughes, I think the next best option is probably Seamus Power at 8 under. I think that's actually a pretty good number on him. He plays well in windy, difficult conditions. He's got something going with the putter. He's at least got a spark of confidence with that club. And I think his tee to green game is ready to handle what tomorrow's going to throw at him.
I'm with you on Cam Young. I don't think I'm quite ready for that yet. I could make a tiny little case for some of these other guys. I think if you made me bet it, and I rarely do this, I think it's Keith. I think it's Keith, two shots clear, plus 190. And I don't love betting a guy that short, but that is where my head is saying to go right about now.
That's where it, I mean, you got to take the guy who's going to win, right? The odds don't matter if he wins or if he doesn't win. I mean, but he's leading in strokes gained tee to green. He's third in strokes gained off the tee. He's first in strokes gained approach the green. He's losing over two shots with the putter.
Yeah.
And he's leading by two. He doesn't have to have a good putting day tomorrow, right? He's got to hit fairways and greens, which he said in his post round presser. So yeah, Keith Mitchell looks like the guy. The other thing, Rick, that I don't really like going after is like the great round. He just goes out and shoots 29 with a hole out eagle. I don't like chasing that. That being said, he's two shots clear. That's a pretty big edge. We don't need to see a phenomenal. I mean, 200 might be enough tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust any of those other guys. Real quick before we get out of here. So the 10 most expensive golfers on DraftKings. So in theory, the 10 best players in this field before the week. The 10 guys, $9,000 or more expensive. Six of them missed the cut. Sam Burns, Jordan Spieth, Brian Harman, Sungjae Im, Tony Finau, Minwoo Lee. One of them is inside the top 30. That's Cam Young. The rest are between the other three are between 30th and 70th. Not a good week for the big boys.
No. And it looked like it was a good week. It looked like it was going to be a good week for the big boys. You know, Sam Burns had it going early on Thursday. You had Brian Harman was kind of fighting it, but he was still there. He shot even in the opening round. You had JT, had Spieth playing all right after round one. And they just go sideways.
Xander was like still like Xander being, you know, T19, T18 or whatever after the first two rounds. Like, okay, he's lurking again.
Whatever. Right. But within four or five shots.
Exactly.
Right there. Look, it's a tough golf course. And I don't think that they really had, I don't know if any of them really were coming in on their game. Like even Xander, who's coming off of a second at the Players, is working on his swing. And he kind of made it work at the Players, which is what he said. Did a lot of it with short game. That's hard to keep up for eight rounds. JT, we've had our questions with, was coming off a miscut. Brian Harman had the electric tournament at the Players. Sometimes that kind of emotional roller coaster of contention can lead to some trouble. So it's understandable now looking back, but it's still disappointing.
Final three groups, Cam Young, Brendan Todd, Mackenzie Hughes, Peter Malnati, and the final group, Keith Mitchell, Seamus Power, in round four of the Valspar Championship. We'll be back after the conclusion of this event to discuss all the happenings. But for now, big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, that's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.